Let us compose our mind.
Develop the faith, sadha, vira, mindfully, visha, commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya macchadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajama. Padang Pajame. Damang Pajame. Sanghang Pajame. Okay, you all can be seated. Relax body and mind, maintain some more attention, then we can start. Like I mentioned earlier on, today is the 60th lesson of our 6 Patriarch Platform Sutta class. And today is Sunday, 29th of October 2017. So now turn to page 1. We will recite the opening verse of the Sutta. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we turn to page 292. So we are on this new chapter. So we will continue with the sutta. Bishu Ji Chang, a native of Guixi in Xinzhou, left home when he was a child and resolutely sought to see his own nature. One day he called on the master, who asked him, "Where are you from and what do you want?" Ji Chang replied, "Your student has recently been to Baifeng Mountain at Hongzhou to call on the High Master Da Tong and receive his instruction on the principle of seeing one's nature and realizing Buddhahood. As I have not yet resolved my doubt, I have come from a great distance to bow reverently and request the Master's compassionate instruction." The Master said, "What instruction did he give you? Try to repeat it to me." Ji Chang said, "After arriving there, 3 months passed, and still I have not received any instruction. Or still I have received no instruction. Being eager for the Dhamma, one evening I went alone into the abbot's room and asked him, 'What is my original mind and original substance?' Da Tong then said to me, 'Do you see empty space?' 'Yes,' I said, 'I see.' Da Tong said, 'Do you know what appearance it has?' I replied, 'Empty space has no form. How could it have an appearance?' Da Tong said, 'Your original mind is just like empty space. To understand that nothing can be seen is called right seeing. To know that nothing can be known is known as true knowing. There is nothing blue or yellow, long or short, simply seeing the clear, pure, original nature, the perfect, bright, enlightened substance. This is what is called seeing one's nature and realizing Buddhahood. It is also called the knowledge and vision of the Tathagata. Although I heard his instruction, I did not understand and begged you, O Master, to instruct me." Then Huineng replied, the Master said, "Your former master's explanation still retains the concept of knowing and seeing, and that is why you have not understood. Now I will teach you with a verse." So this is the explanation given by Huineng, the sixth patriarch. "Not to see a single Dhamma still retain no seeing, greatly resembling floating cloud covering the sun. Not to know a single Dhamma, not to know a single Dhamma holds to empty knowing, even as a lightning flash comes out of empty space. This knowing and seeing arise in an instant. When seen wrongly, can expedient be understood? If in the space of a thought, you can know your own error, your own spiritual life will always be manifest." So this was the poem given by Huineng. So this is to explain to this bhikkhu, Zhichang, why he couldn't receive the understanding of the first master that he went to. Because that master that taught him had not really seen the true nature. And because of that, according to Huineng, what he has given as advice to Zhichang, he still retained, he still retained the concept of knowing and seeing. So that is from the mundane mind. When there is no mundane mind, there is nothing. Nothing to know, nothing to see, because the true nature is the unconditioned. It's not something that you can hold on to, give meaning to, using words and concepts. So that's the reason why. Then we read on the commentaries, page 294. Bhikkhu Zhichang left home at the early age of 7 or 8. When he called on the sixth patriarch, the master remembered his first meeting with the fifth patriarch, who had asked him the same question, "Where are you from and what do you seek?" Then he replied, "I am from Xingzhou." The master had said, "And I seek nothing but Buddhahood." So Xingzhou people are like uneducated or barbarian. The fifth patriarch has said, "How can you become a Buddha? The barbarian's body and the high master's body are not the same," counter sixth patriarch. "But in the Buddha nature, where is the distinction?" So at that time, sixth patriarch to be, which is Huineng, he was able to have that type of wisdom and understanding. That's why he replied beautifully. To the fifth patriarch. He said, physically we may differ. That's why we can divide ourselves into northerner and southerner. Northerner are those more educated people. Like the capital of China, Beijing, is Bei, is north. So northerner, they are more educated. They are mostly scholars. Rest southerner are the uneducated, and they call them barbarian, less refined. So Huineng replied, he said, "Yeah, physically we may differ, but within that nature, there is no difference, irregardless of who you are, where are you from, for that pertains to the form of mind, nothing to do with the nature. The true nature is the oneness nature. It doesn't differ." Remembering this, the sixth patriarch asked Zhichang, "Where are you from? Just what do you want? Or what do you think you are doing?" Zhichang had received instruction on seeing the nature and realizing the Buddhahood, but he still had doubt. The Chinese word for doubt is literally fox doubt, because fox are wary of everything. When a fox walks across the eyes, he takes a step, cocks his head and listens. If the eyes crack, he runs back to the shore. If it does not, he keeps on walking and listening, walking and listening. Although foxes are extremely intelligent, they are full of doubt. In his verse, the sixth patriarch explained. Just give me a minute. I have to talk to my wife, Hong. Bỏ cô phun lại là coi vậy. Okay, we continue. Huh? In his verse, the sixth patriarch explained, if you do not see a single Dhamma and the 10,000 Dhammas are all empty, and the 10,000 Dhamma all are empty, you still have the view of not seeing any Dhamma. You still hold that view. This is just like floating cloud covering the sun, because if you truly do not see anything, you are free of the idea of not seeing. So this is the explanation by Huineng. And in the same way, if you don't establish a single Dhamma and don't know a single Dhamma, but still have the knowledge that you will neither establish nor know Dhamma, you still hold on to an empty, false kind of knowing. Your principle seems coherent, but knowing and seeing still remain. So this is the mistake of many practitioners. Your principle seems coherent, but knowing and seeing still remain. This is the great void. Originally, there is nothing there, but suddenly there is a flash of lightning. Now do you see or not? This knowing and seeing arise in an instant. Your seeing nothing and your empty knowing, your views of not seeing and your knowledge of knowing nothing are there before your eyes. You should understand right this instant that you are wrong in holding to the idea of seeing nothing and knowing emptiness. Then your original wisdom, your original intelligence, your inherent Buddha nature, which is the Tathagata's treasury, will always be manifest. So this part is not easy for most people who use the thought process. If you use your thought to try to comprehend all this style of teaching, you will end up like that master that taught Jichang, Ta Tong. Means knowledge-wise, you know that that true nature is empty. Everything is empty, no knowing, no seeing, nothing. But that is knowledge, because you still hold on to the thought of a knowing and a seeing. So to realize the true mind, everything must cease. That is where most cultivators couldn't get it, because they cling on to a mind that can know, that can understand, and there is no such thing. That true mind, which is the unconditioned, can awaken, but there is no knowing, there is no real seeing, because these are of the conditioned world. That true nature is just understand, finish. And when the understanding arises, it's a wisdom. And wisdom is not a word, not a knowledge. Cannot be expressed, it's an understanding. So that teaching is completely the other way around. So that's the reason why Huineng mentioned, you should understand right this instant that you are wrong in holding to the idea of seeing nothing and knowing emptiness. Then your original wisdom, your original intelligence, your inherent Buddha nature, which is the Tathagata's treasury, will always be manifested. Because when your mundane mind of knowing and seeing ceases, that true nature is always there. So you don't have to worry about anything. And that nature, which has the understanding, is connected to the form and mind. That's why the form and mind will understand. So this part is not easy for most cultivators. Okay, we go on. The sutta. Hearing the verse, Jichang understood it with his heart and mind, and he composed this verse. See, because Jichang is ready, actually. He has the condition from the past. That's the reason why when he hears truth, he understands. But because the earlier master, Ta Tong, couldn't explain to him, that's the reason why he couldn't penetrate the true Dhamma. Then when Huining explained it, in the way where people who has undergone the cultivation can understand, Ji Chang straight away realized the truth, awakened and understood. Then he composed this verse. We go through the verse. Without beginning, knowing and seeing arise. When one is attached to mark, bohi is sought out. Clinging to a thought of enlightenment, do I arise above my former confusion? The inherently enlightened substance of my nature illuminates the turning, twisting flow. But had I not entered the patriarch's room, I would still be running lost between the two extremes. So Ji Chang, after he awakened and understood, he composed this verse, which was very beautiful. Because before the six patriarchs' explanation, he was caught in the mundane mind. The mundane mind always creates reality. That's why the two extremes, the duality. So it keep on discriminating. So the two extremes refer to the duality. He said, if he had not entered the patriarch's room, he would still be running lost between the two extremes. Means he can never awaken. Yeah, he didn't realize that by seizing the mind, not doing anything, the awakening, the realizing of that true nature can just happen. Not through a doing, which is the thought itself. Not through a desire to be enlightened and all those things. So all this, as you cultivate, as you develop the understanding, you will understand. Then you will come to this very profound understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. So I will go through the poem again, the verse that he mentioned. Without beginning, because after he had understood this, then he knew this thing, the knowing and seeing by the mundane mind has been going on for very long. That's why he said, without beginning, knowing and seeing arise. When one is attached to mark, you know what are marks, isn't it? What are the three types of marks? Mark of self, existing, mark of others. Then the other one is mark of the phenomenal world, Dhamma and all those things, life and all those things. So all these are called marks created by mind. So when one is attached to mark, bohi is sorted out. Yeah, when you attach to mark, you think all these are real, exist. That's why you want to become enlightened. So bohi is enlightenment, is sorted out. Then clinging to a thought of enlightenment. That's why you use the thought, you can never realize it. Do I rise above my former confusion? The inherently enlightened substance of my true nature illuminates the turning, twisting flow. Because that true nature is beyond all this. That's why you don't have to go and look for it. When you look for it through the thought, the mundane mind, you can never find it. Because like the Buddha said, truth is beyond thought, beyond mind. Dhamma is akaliko, the timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. Okay. Then we go on. We see what Xuan Hua has to say in the commentary. When Ji Chang heard this verse, he put it all down. Having put it all down, he didn't say, I put it all down. If you put it down, don't keep saying, I put it down. If you keep on saying that you have put it down, you haven't really done it. If you truly have no knowledge or view and have returned to the roots and gone back to the source, Why do you keep a knowing and a viewing? So this part is Xuan Hua's explanation. So a lot of people are trapped in this particular concept of seeing and knowing. Because the thought, the mundane mind, when it arises, all this will arise. Zicang understood and spoke a wonderful verse. He said, without beginning, knowing and seeing arise. Means, over the aeons and aeons of birth and death, this mundane mind has deceived you. And it has constantly arise the seeing and knowing. Without a head, without a tail, the idea of seeing nothing and the knowledge of emptiness arise from no beginning. Without a causal basis or foundation. Though one is attached to mark, both he is sorted out. You should not be attached to mark. But now, you have become attached to see nothing and knowing nothing or emptiness. Previously, when I explained no thought, I said that if you think I have no thought, just that is a thought, isn't it? So now Xuan Hua also understands. No thought is a thought. You know why no thought is a thought? I write down on the whiteboard. Then we go through this. No thought. Is a thought. Can you understand this sentence? This statement. Is it contradictory? Very simple, isn't it? I said no thought is a thought. What do you think? Is this sentence correct? Or is it contradictory? For those who understand, it's correct. But for those who don't understand, you take it literally, you sure say, Bratio, how can no thought be a thought? There is no thought. How can it be a thought? How do you understand this? This is what Xuan Hua is trying to explain to. Yeah, he also came to the understanding. Anybody want to try? Answer it. Why is this statement still correct? The truth. Anybody? Yes. Mindy, try. Give it a try. Very good.
That's the thought saying no thought.
Yes. Very good. Well, you have to inquire. Who said this? Because you have a thought that say, I have no thought. Understand? And that itself is a thought. That's why no thought is a thought. Who say no thought? You, through your thought, say no thought. But when you really understand this, you will not say, I don't have any thought. Because that is not you, understand? That is your nature. Your nature is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why a lot of people don't understand. That's Xuan Hua say, whenever you cultivate, then you think you know, but that is theory, knowledge. Oh, I got no thought, I got no thought. I have gone beyond. But who say you have no thought? It's the thought. Whenever thought is active, you cannot realize that which is beyond thought, the true mind, the true nature. So this sentence is very powerful. And when you understand, you can go beyond. That's why whole of meditation is just silence. the whole of meditation. It's just silent. Yeah. That's why I always say the silent mind. The mind that does not think, does not arise anything. The silent mind is the true mind. And that is the one that can awaken and understand. You cannot be silent, you cannot awaken. Okay. Can follow. Is this clear? If you're not sure, you better ask. Anybody got any question or want to ask further or want to explain it in your own words? You can. Anybody? Can you understand? If you cannot understand, you better tell me. The whole of meditation is just silent. Now you understand. Silent means what? Don't think. Don't do anything. Just let things be. The untrained mind will have sankhara, will have thought. Let it arise. Then it will cease by itself. Like I always explain, the original state of mind is already stillness, the silence. You don't go and think, stir, and create anything. This mind cannot arise, the mundane mind. The mundane mind is the result of your delusion, your duality, your mental creation, your mental activity. Because one thing to know. Wanting to understand. That's why you go and think. You create thought. The moment you create thought, thought is active. How can you be in the state of awareness, which is silent? Awareness before the knowing is the deep. The knowing is activity, thought. So when you meditate, you just relax and silent. Then everything can be understood. But human being cannot do that. Because their mental hindrances are very powerful. They are so heedless. The heedlessness creates mental activity. And they are heedless because the opposite five spiritual faculties are not there. That's why the mental hindrance is so active until it becomes habitual. So if constantly you arise mental hindrance, how can you be peaceful? You can never be peaceful. That's the reason why I always say you should inquire. Why are you not peaceful? Why are you not happy? Because you are holding on to something. Through your delusion, through your self-delusion, through your craving, your desire to want things your way, you give meaning to everything, the phenomenal world. You created duality everywhere. And this is the cause of suffering. But when you understand, thing is just the way it is, and you can come to terms with that reality and let things be, then everything will fall back to its original state, which is the true mind. Before any stirring or arising of thought, before any activity, then you will go back to the original state of stillness, silent. And that is how you realize your true mind, your true nature. Without thought, you already aware. You don't have to learn to be aware, try to be aware. This is all thought-based. That's the reason why living being cultivator cannot develop the meditation. Because they don't have that clear understanding. And they develop the meditation or they go into the meditation without clear understanding. Because the only means of meditation or doing anything or means of knowing is the mundane mind, the thought. So they have been so accustomed to the thought, which has been with you since beginning last time until now. That's why every time you want to do something, you have to use your thought. Well, you never really understood that there is another nature within that is beyond thought. The other analogy is like the fish. The fish that is in the sea or the river or the ocean, if the fish has never been caught and come on land, you go and tell the fish there is another environment which is not water, where there is air and all those things and land, he will say, "You crazy fellow." He says, "Since birth until now, for aeons, I am always in the water environment. And you tell me there is an environment that is not water." They won't believe until they are caught, brought onto the land. Then they realize, yeah, there is such thing as air and land, no water. So human being is the same. When you say there is a state that is beyond thought, where no thought exists, you sure cannot comprehend. But to you, without thought, how to live? How to know? Without thought, who am I? What am I? Where you are so conditioned by the thought, you believe there is a thinker behind the thought. You exist. That's why self-delusion. And because you exist, you think you create thought. So all this is where sakyadity, self-delusion, is. And if you cannot understand this, you cannot realize the truth. It's as good as you cannot develop the meditation. Because when your approach is wrong, you will never, ever be able to realize the truth. It's just like in science. When you want to, let's say, analyze something that is so small, so micro, with your naked eye, you cannot see. So what must you do? You need to come up with an instrument that can magnify the thing, isn't it? That's why they got this microscope or this telescope to magnify. After they magnify, then they can see, yeah, there are activity, there are movement within, which the normal naked eye cannot see. So your instrument that you use to investigate must be at a higher level than what you want to see. If you don't have that instrument, based on your physical senses as it is, you cannot see. So meditation is the same. If you use the wrong approach or the wrong instrument to meditate, you can never realize the state that is beyond the instrument's capability. So like the Buddha said, the Buddha Dhamma, or the truth that you're supposed to awaken to or realize, the Dhamma, is akaliko. Akaliko means what? Beyond thought, beyond mind. So if you use the instrument which is thought, how can you realize a state or enlightenment that is beyond thought, beyond mind? It's definitely impossible. True or not? So always remember that when thought ceases, then without thought, you have the possibility of realizing that state which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why when you meditate, you must have the ability to cease the thought. Let the thought be and let it cease. Then you will realize the state that is without thought, just aware, no word, nothing. And that is the beginning of meditation. That is what sati is all about, mindfulness. When you are aware, there is no thought, no word, no concept, nothing. No duality. Okay? Can follow, huh? Okay, we go on. Okay, page 296, second last paragraph. If you really are without thought, you are also without no thought. The concept of no thought is just another thought. See? Xuan Hua also no. Then he tried to explain to you. Then in Zen, Dayan meditation, they call it Chan. When we reflect on the question, who is reciting the Buddha's name? You familiar with this, huh? Those who are in the Mahayana tradition, Sei Zai Nian Po. Who is reciting the Buddha's name? We search for the who, but don't find it. Because basically, there is no who. But people can't understand and keep looking for a self, saying who in your search. Do not be attached to mark. Do not be attached to the mark of self when you seek Bohi. This is a very, very important understanding. This sentence, you better make a mark. So people's mistake is in their search for truth, they always have a thought. And they created a mark of I am searching for the truth. So here the advice is, in your search, do not be attached to mark. Do not be attached to the mark of a self when you are seeking Bohi, when you want to be enlightened. Because ultimately there is no one to be enlightened. There is nobody there. The form and mind is just dependent, originating, condition arising. It's not you. And the realization is an understanding, a wisdom, connected to the form and mind. And that nature is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. It cannot exist as an independent entity. So this part, you have to really develop the understanding. Otherwise, no amount of thought-based meditation can lead you to the understanding or the awakening. When you think, I am seeing emptiness, and there is nothing at all, you still have the thought of knowing, and still have the thought of seeing, and you don't overcome your confusion. This is certainly not enlightening. So a lot of people are caught in Dhamma, caught at the knowledge level, thinking that they know, thinking that they understand. But if you don't realize it through your actual meditation, you can never comprehend and awaken. That's why you have to go through that stage of cessation. And Mahayana got a very good description for that state of cessation. You have to go through a state where there is no birth and no death. 不生不灭. You must realize this no birth and no death state. 不生不灭的境界. You cannot go through that cessation to realize the non-arising and the ceasing. You can never understand what Nibbana is. What enlightenment is, what that true nature is. That's why you have to go through that cessation. Cessation means complete cessation. There is no mind, nothing. Even the pure awareness also ceases to be. There is completely nothing. That's why 不生不灭. No birth, no death, no arising, no ceasing. Because it's the unconditioned. It's only within the conditioned world you have things arising and ceasing, dependent on the condition behind. When the supporting condition is there, it exists. When the supporting condition ceases to be, it ceases. But you have to go beyond all this birth and death, arising and passing away, birth and death. Okay. Then we go on. The inherent enlightenment substance of my nature illuminates the turning and twisting flow. the basic substance of the self-nature which is enlightened from the beginning, is in accord with the shift and flow of external conditions, and yet it does not change. Understanding this, Jitang finds the middle way between the two extremes of seeing nothing and knowing emptiness. So this is how Jitang awakens. That's like true hearing, just true hearing. Because when you hear the truth from somebody who has realized, you have the parami and the condition to awaken to it, you will awaken. That's the reason why Jitang can completely awaken straight away after hearing what the sixth patriarch has recited to him, the verse. So this part, you really develop the understanding as you cultivate, not long, you yourself will also awaken. You also can realize the enlightenment. It's not difficult. It's just an understanding that can come through when conditions are fulfilled, when you have had deep enough understanding. Then all of a sudden, one day, the word will become very clear to you, and your nature will just understand and shine forth. Then when the mundane mind sees, your true mind, your true nature will shine forth. And that nature got no word, nothing. It's the unconditioned. It just manifests. It's just like when you do the cultivation. You don't try to avoid evil. Although there is also the advice of the Buddha. Avoiding evil in its actual sense is you must understand what constitutes evil, the real evil. And then you can avoid evil. But if you don't understand what constitutes evil, how can you avoid evil? Do you understand this sentence? We better go through, otherwise you can be stuck in all this. Avoid evil. First of all, you have to understand what constitutes evil. True or not? If you cannot understand what constitutes evil, how can you avoid evil? So what constitutes evil? What are the evil? The Buddha taught the three. What did the Buddha taught? What constitutes evil? The three? The three evil rules. And what are they? Greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why you have to go into it. And this is cultivation. You have to penetrate the meaning. Greed, hatred, and delusion. Then when you are mindful and aware, when you are mindful and aware, you can identify them. That's how you cultivate. That's why mindfulness and awareness is very important. Without mindfulness and awareness, you cannot be aware of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And the Buddha's meaning of all evil is to be avoided is to be mindful of evil. Because the absence of evil is good. You don't try to do good. If you try to do good, that good may not be the absolute good. It's good according to you. It's a biased good. It's a conditioned good. You understand? That's why do good. If you don't understand, it becomes the thought. The thought is trying to do good. And thought is egoic. How can it be good? Whatever that is egoic is selfish. When it's selfish, it has greed, it has hatred, it has delusion. So don't try to do good. That's why the Buddha said, be mindful, be heedful, to see clearly the evil roots. Then the four right effort to abandon it, to prevent it from arising. Then whatever wholesomeness, goodness, that are still not in you, right effort to cultivate them. Then the final right effort is to refine upon and perfect all of the wholesomeness, the goodness that you have already developed. All mind states, which are without the evil roots, they are the right thought, right speech, and right action. They are wholesomeness. They are your virtue, your goodness. So all this mind state without the evil root, the absence of evil, they are the appropriate mind state that you must have. So to avoid evil is not to take the word literally as trying to do good. There are a lot of people used to have this wrong idea. When they are afflicted by suffering, then when they came to me, they discussed their problem with me. Then when I explained to them, they will tell me this initially. Say, brother, why I've been doing all the good things? Why my life is like that? Why people cannot understand me? Because to them, they have done a lot of good. Good according to them. Then some they complain, my children, why do they do this to me? I sacrifice for them. I love them so much. I take care of them. I want all this for them. I meant good. Good according to you. Because your good is a selfish good. You have a motive. You are too eager to make them this way. Well, to you, if they study this subject, or if they live life like that, according to your rigid understanding and rules, then they will become good. They will become successful. They will become wealthy. They will have maybe big fat salary and all those things. So you pressure them to study the subject or the career that they don't like. End up, they become miserable. It's their life. Why should you interfere? So feeling to have that sensitivity of mind, to be aware and to be mindful of others, you create that selfish delusion through wrong view, wrong understanding. So this is what cultivator should develop as understanding. So when you cultivate, you must cultivate with understanding so that you can transcend duality. That's why Shen Huang also used the word the middle path. When there is no more discrimination, when there is no more delusion to hold on to the two extremes, your mind develops the tranquility or the equanimity state of mind. And they call that the middle path, where it transcends duality. It avoids the two extremes of sensual indulgence and self-mortification. Okay? So we finish that particular section. We go to the next one. Page 297, the Sutta. One day, Ji Chang asked the Master, the Buddha taught the Dhamma of the three vehicles and also the supreme vehicle. Your disciple has not yet understood that and would like to be instructed. You understand the three vehicles? I think by now you should understand. You got Theravada, Mahayana, and Vajrayana, the three vehicles. The Master said, contemplate only your own original mind and do not be attached to the mark of external Dhamma. The Dhamma doesn't have four vehicles. It is people's mind that differ. See? Now you understand, huh? When the Buddha taught the Dhamma to the world, he never separate, he never create division as Theravada, Mahayana, Vajrayana, or whatever yana. He just teach the truth, the Dhamma. That's the reason why those who really have the understanding, they don't want to get themselves untangled with marks. We are all this got no meaning. That's the reason why you see all the classes that I hold with you. If I come to a Mahayana Vihara, which is your place, I will use the Mahayana salutation first. That's why we chant Namo Bunshi Shi Jie Mo Ni Fo. Then Quan Shi Ying is because that great being's nature. Then sometimes Maitreya, which is also a very, very special and unique being, we also chant them. Then we want to cultivate affinity with all the Bodhisattva and the Buddha. There's like four Pusa, all of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Yeah. Then after that, I continue with the Theravada Pali chanting. Arahan Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivatemi. Then we chant the salutation and all those things. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. So we combine the tradition. Because these are just traditions created by human mind. In truth, the Dhamma is beyond word. No such division. So Xuanhua also, he has the understanding. Then six patriarchs also have the understanding. That's why he told Jichen. The master said, contemplate only your own original mind, means your true nature, and do not be attached to the marks of external Dhamma, the division created by others. The Dhamma doesn't have four vehicles. It is people's mind that differ. Seeing, hearing, and reciting is the small vehicle. Awakening to the Dhamma and the understanding, the meaning is the middle way or the middle vehicle. Cultivating in accord with Dhamma is the great vehicle. To penetrate the 10,000 Dhamma entirely and completely while remaining without defilement, and to severe attachment to the marks of all Dhamma with nothing whatsoever gained in return. That is the supreme vehicle. Vehicle are methods of practice, not subject for debate. This is very important. It's not for you to argue which is better. It is a skillful means created by living beings. That's why methods and technique of practice, they are just skillful means. They are not the meditation. They are given for you to train your mind. Cultivate on your own and do not ask me. For at all times, your self nature is itself past. See? The self nature go beyond all this vehicle. The self nature is just that nature that can only be realized when your mind ceases to be. So this is a very important aspect. Then Ji Chang bow and thank the master and serve him to the end of the master's life. Means he continued to serve Hui Ning until Hui Ning's parinibbana. Our recent trip, spiritual trip to Canton of Guangzhou and Quilling, we went through a lot of Hui Ning's way place and birthplace. That's why they call it the footpath of the six patriarchs. How from the birthplace, as a woodcutter, as an illiterate, he walked all the way to see the fifth patriarch, Hong Mei. Then after that, he was given the patriarchship. And the fifth patriarch handed over to him the golden bowl and the golden robe, Yi Po, Zhen Chuan, means That is the symbol of the true handing over of the patriarchate. So when we visit all those temple we place, they have all those things there. And we were so fortunate because all these places, our tour guide was able to help us to make arrangement to be shown the place and taken around by a cinema or a sijie. But in Liu Chu Si, although it's a lady bhikkhuni who took us around, they still call them si xiong. They don't call them sijie. I don't know why. That is something we just learned when we were there. So we have to adopt to the tradition at that time and that place. So it's not always to argue to be right or wrong. If you use our convention, then we will be end up arguing with them. No, you are a lady, I should call you sijie. But the tradition there is different. Whether lady or man, si xiong. So that is the unique part about that place. So it just like those who are familiar with China. After China came out. So if you go there to a restaurant, you see the waitress serving you. You don't call them xiao jie, no? Because xiao jie in China, it means another meaning. No? So you have to be careful with your words. Well, here it's very common. We used to call them xiao jie, and they feel good, because it means they are still young. They are still a young lady, xiao jie. But in China, it means they are in that type of trade. They all xiao jie means those who serve people and maybe do that type of trade. So the meaning is different. So if you have the understanding and the sensitivity, then you should immediately learn and correct yourself to avoid misunderstanding, to avoid unnecessary embarrassment or misunderstanding. So all this is part and parcel of the cultivation. Okay, then we go to Xuanhua's commentary. So according to Xuanhua, the master said, Ji Chang, the Dhamma doesn't even have one vehicle, much less four. People's minds are what differs, means created by mind. You see, hear, and recite. You belong to the small vehicle. So this one you understand, The Theravada tradition or the smaller vehicle. It's through hearing mainly. So here they use the word, if you see, hear, and just recite the sutta, then you belong to the sainthood way, the smaller vehicle. Then if you understand and awaken, you belong to the middle vehicle. Means when you put it into practice, cultivation, then you awaken. Then you belong to the middle vehicle. Then the last part is, if you practice or cultivate according, in accord with the Dhamma, means you know how to accord and flow. The highest. You can accord and flow with condition, means no right, no wrong, no duality, nothing. There is no argument. You transcend duality and everything. Then you belong to the supreme vehicle or the great vehicle. So this one is not about Theravada, Mahayana, or Vajrayana. It's about the three stages of cultivation. The sainthood way, then the Arahantship and beyond, the Bodhisattva way. Then after that, the supreme vehicle is the Buddha's way. When you understand all dhammas, when they are perfected in your own mind without any obstruction, and when you know that the 10,000 Dhamma are the mind, and the mind is the 10,000 Dhamma, and further, when you are not defiled by any state, then you belong to the supreme vehicle. But you must cultivate on your own. I can't do it for you. So this part is Xianhua's explanation. So he liked to use this analogy. 个人吃饭，个人饱。 So eat your own food and feed yourself, because nobody can eat on your behalf. You will still be hungry, you understand? So cultivation is the same. Wisdom I cannot teach you. I can only share the understanding with you. You have to realize it yourself. It's like eating food. Nobody can eat on your behalf. If you want to fill your stomach, you have to eat yourself. Means you have to develop the cultivation yourself, awaken yourself. Then only you can understand the words of the enlightened one or the awakened one. That's why you have to cultivate yourself to end your own birth and death. 了生死. To end birth and death, you have to awaken, become enlightened. Nobody can help you do that. If the Buddha can help living beings and just make them enlightened, do you think he is not loving enough and compassionate enough to do it for you? Because it can't be done, understand? He can be the Samasa Buddha, and he cannot do it for you. That's the reason why in our Buddhist hymn, we used to hear this when we were in our early days or younger days. When I was with the university that time, I was with BJF. They got this Buddhist hymn, very nice. It's always talking about Buddha merely showed the way. Then they always say, we ourselves must walk the path, Buddha merely showed the way. Then they repeat, Buddha merely showed the way. Means he only show you the way to cultivate, to develop the practice, the understanding. You yourself have to walk the path, realize the enlightenment, where nobody can do it for you. So the teaching is to show you the way. The Dhamma is to allow you to have the understanding. But you have to put it into practice so that you can awaken. So that is the meaning. Then you can go beyond birth and death. Then from that time onward, Zichang served the master. When he wanted a cup of tea, Zichang brought it for him. When he was hungry, Zichang brought him food. He served the master right up till the master's parinibbana or death, at which time he left Nanhua Si, or Nanhua Temple. So this was the chapter on Zichang, which was very, very beautiful and very meaningful. Okay, good. Today we managed to finish one chapter. So all these are very interesting. Oh, we are still early. Yeah. 4:10. You got any questions thus far? Anybody got any questions? If you don't have any question, then maybe we can have our meditation earlier. Then later on, after meditation, you can report your meditation or ask whatever question that is related to meditation, the teaching, and how to apply them. Okay, we are off the line. Then I give you, maybe today you can have 40 minutes of meditation. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have announced slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we will continue from where we stopped. So the second session is meditation, followed by Q&A, question and answer, and reporting of meditation. You got anybody who wants to report the meditation or ask any question, you can raise your hand. Then we will pass the mic over. Anybody? Yeah, pass the mic to Mindy.
Brother Teo, I would like to know. Okay, there is one mind state where understand there is a mundane mind and the clarity, the awareness at the same time. Is it a bit different from what is taught by Brother Teo, or is it the same?
Your question is what?
Okay.
I can't hear you. Maybe you'll come over here.
Hello, yes, it's okay already, yes. When the mind is very quiet, it understands that there is the mundane
mind,
then the awareness clarity at the same time, whereas it understands that these two are the same.
Who understands these two are the same?
There is, I don't know what's that. So is it
the mind? Okay. I think I know what your question is. Okay. Thank you so much, Mindy. Very good. You can go back to your place. You see, what you are going through is there is a phase that you will go through, which you are undergoing now, which is very good. So you can go into the silent. But when you are in the silence, there is no word. The moment you say, you know that there is the silence and the mundane mind, there is the thought. You understand? That is the thought. So all knowing is knowledge. All knowing. Is knowledge. So basically, there is nothing to know. Whatever knowing is the perception, the knowledge. That's why the thought come out already. So that knowing is a mind that tell you through your perception, and whether it's an understanding or the perception, based on your views and opinion, it can be either or. But that one, the mind already come out. You understand? So all knowing is knowledge. That's why I say there is nothing to know. But when it comes to wisdom, it's an understanding. Wisdom is an understanding. This is not knowledge. And this one is not a being. The understanding is just the silent mind that awakened. So wisdom is an understanding. It's not a knowledge. When you understand, the formal mind will know what to do. So what you are going through is, you don't try to fall into the mistake like what all the other monks are doing. Even before Huineng explained, they were caught in the mundane mind. Because this mundane mind tried to understand. As I just now you say, there is a mind that understands that there is this awareness, or the silent mind, or the true mind, where there is clarity, there is stillness, there is silence. These are all words, understand? The knowing comes after that, where you have to communicate. You have to let people know. So you have to use words. It's okay. Yeah. 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 You can use capital letter, huh?
Easier. Yeah.
So that itself is the mundane mind. Yeah. But the understanding itself, which is wisdom, is nothing to do with mind. That one is when the silent mind or true mind awakened, the understanding is that connected to the formal mind. So there is this formal mind, then there is this consciousness, then there is this understanding or wisdom. It's only after you have connected to the true mind, the silent mind, and awaken, then this one exists or arises. And with this, the understanding or the wisdom, this form and mind is no longer deluded. You can say this one is enlightened, but this is not you. This is dependent originating, condition arising. So this is the true understanding. But living beings, when they do the cultivation, they always have the thought that wants to know. And the thought always say, Brother Teo every time say this, that's why you ask, is it the same? But to you, it's the same. The one that is aware, and the one that is aware of an awareness and the mundane mind, to you is the same. It's not the same. That one is the thought. The thought wants to know. That's why the thought can describe. There is this silent mind, this mundane mind. But in reality, the awareness without thinking, you cannot call it by anything. That is just that nature. And that nature cannot come out and live life. That nature has nothing. It's not a being. It's not anything. It's the unconditioned. That one, very strangely, nothing is apart from it. From there, all dharma arise. Everything arise. All phenomenal condition arising. Everything arise. So don't try to know. That's why I say in the meditation, don't try to know. Just let it silent. Then you will go through the cessation later on when your wisdom is stable enough, when your understanding is stable enough. This understanding will allow the mundane mind to cease. Then you will realize the cessation of form and mind. It can be a moment, a glimpse. Or it can be the realization of Nibbana, which is the enlightened state. But it's not a mind state. It's the form and mind that realize what happened. Then it ceases. And this is what they call Bu Sen Bu Mie, the unconditioned. Then when the form and mind come out of that, it will understand everything completely and thoroughly and clearly. There is no more self-delusion. It understands what the unconditioned is, what that nature is. And it's not a word, it's not a concept, it's not something that you can name or say anything. But to live life, to communicate, to explain to people, you have to use word. That's why we have to use word. That's why the sutta use word. But these are words that is created by enlightened being, spoken by enlightened being. That's why all sutta are for enlightened being to comprehend. Yeah. If you are not enlightened, it's just word. Like the Buddha's teaching, Dhamma, pointing towards the moon, means pointing towards the truth. The finger pointing towards the moon, you can see. The finger is the finger, the moon is the moon. To realize the moon, you must look beyond the finger. So to realize the truth, which is the Dhamma, you have to see beyond the words. You understand? It's just like the finger pointing at the moon. So the Dhamma points towards enlightenment, towards the truth. To realize the truth, you must understand beyond the words. Otherwise, you cannot realize the truth. Because the truth is beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond concept, beyond words. Okay? So you will go through that phase, but don't try to know. Because every time you try to know, the thought arises. That's why cultivator get trapped. Because there is always this thought, even the Dhamma master, Ta Tong, he got trapped. Because to him, he used knowledge to understand what emptiness is. So he think he understand, there is nothing. No one to see. No one to do whatever. Everything is just empty, that nature. But that is still a concept. That is still a knowledge. There is still the seeing and the viewing. The concept is still there, although you call it empty. So people are trapped because the mind that always want to know, want to practice, and want to become enlightened, that itself is a delusion. That is the trap. So don't try to know. Then finally, the formal mind will understand. The formal mind that understands, he has to understand it through the thought. Because the formal mind is basically consciousness and the physical. It's a combination, the coming together of conditions that arise the formal mind. And the formal mind is basically thought process. But this formal mind is very strange. Even though it's karmically conditioned, you need it to come to this condition world. Because without this form of mind, there is no coming to the condition world. That's what law of karma is all about. When the form of mind comes, this form of mind has the ability to connect to the true nature, the true mind. That is the uniqueness of that form of mind. That's why you must know how to use that form of mind to cultivate. To develop the ability to connect to the true mind, the silent mind, then to awaken. And that is just the mystery behind. But human beings find it very difficult to understand all these things. Because that thought that try to know is knowledge based. It's the one that create. It's the one that develop all these marks and manifestations. The extreme, the two extremes, the duality and all those things. The phenomenal world, the condition arising world. Then later on, because of the sutta say there is the unconditioned, the true mind, the true nature, all that. Then that mundane mind again try to understand this. So how can the mundane mind understand? Again, through thought. That's why with thought, you are trapped. You cannot go beyond thought. You cannot understand. That's the reason why enlightenment is about cessation. Don't try to know, because there is nothing inside there. Like Hui Neng said in the poem, what did he say? Ben Lai, originally, there was nothing. Where can the dust arise? all the duality, the defilement, the dust. They come from mind. You created them. That's why they arise. So when originally there is nothing, that's why the true state, original state of mind, the true mind before the stirring, before the arising of thought, is stillness, is silent. So when you don't do anything, completely silent, the true mind will manifest. That's the reason why I say all of meditation, the whole of meditation is just silence. Where you do not arise any thought, any thinking. Don't try to know. That nature manifests. That's why human being cannot get it. We are the curious mundane mind, the thought wants to know, and the thought wants to realize this. Because when the thought wants to realize this, it cannot. Because thought must die. You understand? Thought must cease for this to happen. So how can the thought realize that? And the thought refuses to die. Where the thought is egoic. When thought dies, you say you die. Because you think you are the thought. You are the consciousness. That is where self-delusion is all about. That's why they cannot see. Because that one keep on wanting to know, keep on wanting to understand, keep on wanting to do the meditation. When that is active, the thought keep on arising, keep on perforating. The two extremes, the duality, the discrimination, all keep on arising. Then the phenomenal world, like real to you, then all the muck arise. Yeah. Then got this, got that. That's how creation comes to be. So, very good. So, don't worry, just silence everything. But this is to let you understand easier. It's like the Dhamma pointing at truth. So, like the Buddha defined Dhamma, he said, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma, which is the teaching of the Buddha, by the Buddha. Then, what is this Dhamma? He said, the characteristic and uniqueness of this Dhamma. This Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, opanayiko, pacetang, veditako, vinohiti. Means, this Dhamma can be realized in the here and the now, sanditiko. You don't need to wait until death. These are the characteristics. So that you know whether you meditate, you have done it correctly. If people tell you, after you die only, you will know whether you go to eternal heaven or eternal hell, then that is not the Dhamma that the Buddha teach. Then this Dhamma is, after sanditiko, is akaliko. Beyond thought, beyond time. If the Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond time, how can you use thought, which is within the field of time, to try to understand it, to awaken to it? Cannot. So if you cannot realize a state that is beyond time, beyond thought, that is also not the true Dhamma, as taught by the Buddha. Then the third one is ehipasiko. This Dhamma can stand up to investigation. That's why the Buddha can invite you to come and investigate for yourself. Because it is the truth. It's the way things are, following nature's law. It will stand up to investigation. So after sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, that opanayiko, this Dhamma or this understanding lead inward into your nature. If your realization of the Dhamma doesn't lead inward to your nature, which is beyond mind, beyond thought, then there is not the right Dhamma. Then the last one is pacetang. This Dhamma, this truth, this teaching can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. That's why it's pacetang. So sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, opanayiko, pacetang, veditato, vinohiti. So these are the characteristics of this Dhamma. So that when you cultivate, you check against this, then you will know. So what I'm sharing with you is the same. Don't try to know. It's for you to check. But if you keep on trying to know, you will get trapped the same way as most cultivators. Because this one keep on wanting to know, just like what Brahmasuri went through last night. So eager to progress. Keep on wanting to know whether I have progress or not. By doing that, the mundane mind is kept active. The egoic mind is kept active. The sakayality is kept active. And this one will react when you come to realize that you have not progressed. Where is the atta again? And no matter how you strive, when the egoic mind is there, when the mundane mind is there, the atta is there, it can never progress. That's why I say, don't try to know, just cultivate. Mindfulness, just do. Don't try to know whether you are in sati or not, whether you do it correctly or not. Just do. When sati comes, the form and mind will know. When the cessation happens, the form and mind will know. It went through that. So all of the understanding and awakening can only come if the mind is silent. Always remember that. Don't try to know. That's why the key thing is don't try to know. All knowing comes from the thought. That there is nothing to know. All of knowing is knowledge. And that is the reason why Jai Krishnamurti also say, the most dangerous person in this world is the one who say, I know. The problem with the person who say, I know, is the self-delusion is that there is an I that know. And Krishnamurti already point out, what is there to know? All knowing is knowledge, rigid. Wisdom is an understanding, it's not a knowledge. When the form and mind awaken, it will understand. Because it's from the silent. And that awakening, which is the Dhamma, is beyond thought, beyond mind. And it can happen at any time. That's why it's sanditiko, akaliko. Stand up to investigation, ehipasiko. Then open ego, leading inward. That's why you have to connect to the silent mind. Then only it can go in. Then can be realized by the wise. But the one that awakened, the form and mind become the wise one. Well, when wisdom is connected, this one becomes the wise one. This one becomes the wise one. But it is not you. So this one you have to understand. If you don't understand, you will get trapped. Because you will convert it into another knowledge. You can talk about it exactly like what I explained to you. But if you have not realized it, it's only knowledge. Well, this is all still at the knowledge level. But the moment you understand, it's completely different. Yeah, you will know this fire aggregate of form and mind is not you, but karmically conditional, a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this conditioned world, existential world, to live life, to develop whatever cultivation that you need, and whatever understanding that you need, to go through life, to experience karma, to accumulate wholesomeness, to perfect yourself, your nature. That's why the spiritual nature, the karmic nature, and all those. And the form and mind has its own reality. But that one is subject to karma. That one has to take care of karma. That one recognizes relationship. So even when there is wisdom connected, the form and mind cannot simply do things. But it will understand. It's not worthwhile to do. And it cannot go back to the old way. Of heedless living, deluded living. That's the reason why the wise one, the enlightened one, doesn't suffer anymore. No more suffering. Because it's no longer deluded by the phenomenal one. And all this understanding, you have to realize it, go through it. Then only the form and mind truly have the understanding. Then when you have the understanding, you read the sutta, no problem. You will know what the sutta means. Yeah. It's like the energy I used to tell you. If you say sugar is sweet, white sugar, black sugar, or brown sugar, but you haven't tasted sugar, it's only words. You can only try to guess or make believe what the meaning is. Sugar is sweet. But the moment you tasted it, whatever word people use, you will know. Yeah, sugar is sweet. Then when you put it into coffee, milk tea, or whatever drinks that you mix with, depend on how much you put in, then that sweetness of that sugar is not a word. It's an understanding. Yeah, you experience it before. You understand what that thing is. It's no more a knowledge. Knowledge means you haven't tasted sugar. You only heard of people saying sugar is sweet. Just like all these teachings, you heard about it, but you haven't put it into practice or cultivation, and you have not realized it. That's why you can't develop the understanding. Okay? So basically, that is it. Sadhu to you. So you will go through all this as you cultivate. So when you are in that state, don't try to know. Just allow it to be. Then just like mindfulness. When the mindfulness come to be, the form and mind will know what sati is. Just suddenly the awareness and the thing move as one, no thought. Then you know sati is like that. Not what people say. Then you realize all the people doing thought-based meditation, that is not sati. Noting, focusing, concentrating, counting the breath and doing all those funny things. These are all verbalization, chattering. Skillful means to anchor the mind, to train the mind. But the basis behind meditation, they don't understand. The five mental hindrances that cause them to have the mental hindrance to hinder their mind from entering the meditative state, they also don't understand. Then some, after they read the sutta, they understand, but they cannot figure out what that thing is in real life. Even after they read my note or hear what I say, they may figure out what the hindrance is, but it takes them quite long. Then by the time they figure out, they will try to suppress and control or focus and do funny things about it, or just to do away with the mental hindrance. But they thought that is the one that caused them to be hindrance. But the truth is, like the Buddha said, you don't have to fight them, suppress them, or control the hindrance. The hindrance are there because you lack the opposite five spiritual faculties. So this understanding is very important, but it's not taught. People just focus on the meditation, the doing. They are more interested in all the big name, vipassana. I teach vipassana. What do you teach? I cultivate vipassana. What is your meditation? What method? What technique? All this is delusion, confusion. Vipassana is not a method. Vipassana is an insight into the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state, and non-self, anicca, dukkha, anatta. Whatever you do with mindfulness and the silent mind that allow you to insight and awaken, that is vipassana. And it's not a method or a technique. It's not a way of doing. And it's not thought-based. Your thought-based cannot realize. Whatever you do with the thought, in the name of meditation, whatever method and technique, to me, that is never vipassana. It can never arise the insight into this universal characteristics, the three universal characteristics. So all this, you will have to develop the clear understanding. And then meditation becomes very simple. That is also the reason why I always emphasize phase one of Dhamma, Pariyatti, get it clearly understood. It's only when you understand clearly, then only you can put it into practice or cultivate. You cannot cultivate something that you don't understand. That's why you must have right view, right understanding to start. Noble Eightfold Path start with that. Without right view, without right understanding, you cannot start. Because Noble Eightfold Path is such. If your view is wrong, your thought will be wrong. Your speech, your action, your livelihood, all will be wrong. But if you have right view, then it will condition the right thought, right speech, right action, and right way to live life. And then the Noble Eightfold Path will fall into place. That's why you must develop right view, which is understanding, right understanding. And the nature's law that governs life and existence, the three important right view, Kama Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. You have to understand, otherwise you cannot start. And the whole teaching just focus on all these three spiritual law. Law of Karma, Kama Niyama, the moral causation. Then the way you function as a human being, the mind, the form and mind, five aggregate of form and mind, the mental aggregate of form and mind, how they arise, how they pass away, how paticca samuppada, dependent origination, the 12, create all the movement, the flow of mind state, and how through ignorance suffering comes to be. When there is no ignorance, when there is understanding, wisdom, awakening, no more delusion, then the form and mind liberates, free, no more suffering. It's no longer deluded, it's no longer deceived by the phenomenal world. Nothing in this world can create confusion or delusion in the form and mind that is connected to the understanding or the wisdom. Then the triangle. You have to use the understanding to live life. So to develop understanding or wisdom, you need the pure mind, the true mind, the consciousness, the pure awareness, the direct seed to awaken. You remember the triangle? Huh? The pure consciousness, then understanding on the left. Then this way is creating consciousness through the mundane mind, through the senses. And that is the mundane mind, and that is mundane living, the five aggregate of form and mind. Keep on limited to the thought process, become heedless, and samsara, keep on spinning. This is the reason why cultivator cannot progress, cannot develop a clear understanding to cultivate correctly. Okay? Any other questions? Anybody wants to report their meditation? You should report your meditation, otherwise I will not know whether you really understand or not. If you meditate without understanding, then it's difficult to progress. That's why when you report your meditation, I can point out to you your mistake, where you go wrong, and how you can straighten your view or understanding to improve yourself. If you have this, what they call, attitude of not dare to report or willing to report, because inside there the egoic mind say, Pai say is what? Mo yi si in Cantonese. It's the thought that say all this. You have got nothing to lose, you just report the truth. Like last Thursday, there's a new lady who came. When I ask anybody got anything to report on the meditation, you know, or question, she put up her hand. And you know what she asked me or not? What do you mean by reporting the meditation? Now you answer me. What do I mean by reporting your meditation? Is this so difficult? Reporting your meditation means what? Means just now the last 40 minutes when you meditate, what are you doing? That's it. Tell me exactly that. And she was so happy after she heard me say that. Then she reported her meditation. And she tell me exactly what happened. Then I knew she has her past. She cultivated before. He said her head was very heavy. There's energy building up. And at the back here also. Then after that, I explained to her about the mental hindrance. That about her past, she must have done some form of energy field meditation and all those things. Yeah. Then I said, don't worry, just relax into it. So I teach her the four support and all those things. Then she understand, very funny. Then towards the end, before she, after our session end, before she decide to go, I remember I told Suyan to give her some book. Then I gave her the Heart Sutta and the Cultivation of the Bodhisattva and a few other related books. You know what she told me? She came and talked to me. She said, "Brother, thank you so much." She said, "He actually, the night before, I think a few days earlier, she got this out of the body experience. It never had before, and she don't know what is this." Then she go and Google. Then you realize this is real. Well, a lot of people experience this. And she said after she came out of her body, she can see herself and her roommate both sleeping down there. Then she went in front of the mirror to check. Do you know what she saw? In the mirror. What did she see? What do you expect her to see? She said she went in front of the mirror. You can make a guess. What did she see? He said she see nothing. Do you understand? But the physical form is on the bed. Then what is the fellow who see into the mirror? That is his astral mind that come up, consciousness that come up, part of the consciousness that come up. That's why that one got no image, no form. And the mirror reflects nothing. That's why when non-human is around, they don't have mental form, image. They don't have physical body like ours. Ours is very solid, opaque. That's why it can be reflected. And Deva also you cannot really see. Yeah, there is translucent, it's energy. But certain type of camera you can capture them. That's why sometimes you can see the energy ball or what they call it, orbs. But it's not important. Because the actual Deva, they got form, translucent. It's light. You must be in that consciousness, that rhyme, to see them. But some, because they do psychic, they can see. And most of these people who can see from birth, naturally, they only saw the non-human. Non-human means the petas and all those things. Or the demons, asura and all those things. And they seldom see devas. But those who meditate, if you go through those rhymes, those vibrations, you will see them. And it's nothing special. And she was full of joy because she came to know about my class by accident. She was a part-time Uber driver. A very young lady, at the most 30 years old. Or beginning of 30 or 20 plus, I'm not very sure. She said she was fetching Quan Chi the day after the lunch. The next day, Quan Chi is supposed to go to the airport and she was the Uber driver. Then she find Quan Chi very interesting, where they talk. Then she was actually having some depression problem, she told Quan Chi. Then Quan Chi said, "You go and see this brother Teo." Then he gave him Sui An's number. That's why he called out Sui An and attended the Thursday class. Then it turned out she was full of joy. Where it's meant to be. It was the meditation part that the nature is connected. Because she has done it before. And she will understand very fast, I tell you. She will progress very fast also. That's why it's not a matter of how long you practice. It's about your past cultivation and what condition you have and how serious you are. How you develop the faith, the spiritual tenacity to go this way. Saddha, virya, sati. So all these are possible. That's why people from all different background, different maybe career or whatever, when the condition is right, things will happen. Then it will unfold and they will be connected. Because this is all due to their past affinity and cultivation. Then when it comes, she is so confident. When she told the roommate what happened, the roommate don't believe. The roommate thought she is something wrong up there. Cuckoo. He told the roommate, I saw you last night from up there. So a lot of these things people cannot understand. And it's nothing strange. Well, many people can have that experience. Especially astral mind coming out. A lot of people can do. But it's part of the consciousness. But if you are cultivating, you don't go and do all those things. But if it is something natural from the past, then let it happen and understand it, no harm. But don't be deluded by it. Don't be confused by it. Don't be gullible because of what happened. Don't go and think deludedly. Then you can end up in different, what they call circumstances. Because that one can lead to energy field. Concentration, psychic and all those things. But if you have the understanding and the affinity and the condition, you will not make mistakes. You will know what to do. And all this can happen because it's a byproduct of mental training. Mind state, mind condition, mind's ability to do all these things. It's just like nature's law, citta niyama. Citta means mind, consciousness. Niyama means order. So order of the mind. So there is nothing psychic. When the mind has this ability, it is just a normal process. Like people with talent, they call it prodigal, or talented people. Because they are talented, they can do all these talented things. It's nature's law. It's not that they are very special, very unique. No. It's just like understanding. The moment you understand, you will know how to live. You will be at peace. It doesn't mean that you are very smart, very intelligent, very special. No. It's the understanding. If you train the mind in a certain way, it can do certain things. That's it. They call it the nature's order of the mind. That's why the Buddha said, mind make ade, everything arises because the mind arises. When mind arises, everything comes to be. That's why Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. And Mahayana, in the Mandarin version, has a very good description. Yiqie, yiqie, wei xing zao. Everything arises from the mind. Your mundane mind created it. Sing, zao chen de. Okay, anybody wants to report meditation? You should learn to report, then you will learn. Pass the mic to Ban Yuan.
Good afternoon, Brother Teo. When I meditate just now, actually many times it has been like that. I will relax the whole body, but after a while, I will feel numb and like stiff.
Which part?
Left side, the arm.
Ah, okay.
So I move it.
It's okay. You can move it, but mindfully move it. Yeah,
yeah, I did that. And then when I meditate, I don't, I just relax and I don't actually focus.
Don't need to focus. Just relax and allow things to be. Let the thought arise. Let whatever activity, mental activity arise. Just silent. Relax. Silent. Then what happens?
I just feel the whole body as a whole.
Yeah, yeah. Then what happened to you? Your mind split. Did the mind settle down?
It settled down.
Then how do you feel when it settled down? Does the activity thinking slow down?
Yes.
This is what you're supposed to be aware. No need to know anything. No need to like try to, why I don't have the aware. Then the thought is active. The real progress is when you can understand that by not doing anything, your mind will return to its original state of tranquility, stillness, and awareness. That is your true mind. You're supposed to realize that and stabilize that. That is meditation. Then from there, you will progress. You will understand many things on your own. Actually, you already do it correctly, but you don't have the full understanding yet. So initially, when you feel your arm like numb or what, it's because not relaxed enough. Understand? So one of the ways, like you say, you go and move it, but through mindfulness is okay. But what I can tell you is, you should relax into it first. Understand? Try to relax into it first, then fire. Then sometimes meditation is to tell you your physical body's problem. Like last time I meditate, I remember, because my back, when I was young, I fell. I stepped on the banana skin. I think that time I was 8 or 9 years old. Then I slipped and whole body flew up. Then I landed on my back. It was very, very bad. I think my whole back was smashed or don't know what. But that time, I was a kid, very flexible. I felt very painful, very painful. Then because as a kid, I can endure. Then they not let my parents know. Because as kid last time, if it's small thing, we just let it recover by itself. So finally, I think I rested for about half an hour, then I felt much better. Then I didn't bother about it. Then I try to move around. Then I find that I can still walk. I can still do normal things. But then off and on, I can feel something. Then when I meditate, as I grew up, I realized that she cannot move at the back then. There is something blocked there. Then the time I don't understand. I use my pure energy to clear it. Then later on, I think my good karma, I went to Singapore. There was one very good Qigong master, I think, from China. He came over from China. He's one of the selected, I think, don't know, the whole country, they selected less than 100, I think about 40 to 50 of them. And he was one of them with this special skill and special ability. And because of condition, we were there, then they talked general thing. Then some of them asked other questions. Then suddenly he asked everybody, do you all have any questions? Then because they say he very good in Qigong and other things. So I raised my hand. Actually, he has been observing me when I went in. Yeah, he can feel my nature. Then I told him what happened when I was young. I fell. He was so happy. He said, come, sit down. He offered me a stool, and I sat down. Then he said, silent. I already know how to meditate that time. I know how to silence my mind. Then his hand was 2 feet away from me. He just moved his hand. I can feel his energy coming in, his chi. The whole back there, the buttock there where I fell, warm up. The whole thing warm up. And he did it for about 20 minutes. Then he said, okay, you should be okay. Then after that, I recovered. Well, earlier on, when I reached the age of about 31, sometimes I got this like sleep this problem. No? Certain posture are very sharp pain. Then I did some exercise. Then after I met him, that problem resolved. Until now, no more problem. So it can alert you. Sometimes you say your left hand, like numb and all those things. It could be the chi is not flowing or you are not relaxed at that place, at that particular time. So relax into it. Then continue to just silent.
Is it maybe because not moving? That's why it's numb.
That's why I told you there is two possibilities. It could be there are some problems inside there because why other place is not affected, understand? Only that place. Then the other way is you didn't relax into it because it could be fatigued now there or whatever. Are you a left-hander or a right-hander?
Right-hander.
Right-hander means you seldom use that place, the muscle. So sometimes you seldom use the muscle, it can develop what they call fatigue. Long time didn't use the muscle. Like your car, if long time you didn't drive, sometimes you have to send for top overhaul, you know. Because you must move the parts, understand? So if you didn't exercise for too long, this muscle like long time no, you don't use it, it can develop fatigue. It can have problems. Long time didn't use. Like your badminton racket or guitar, you keep it too long, then you never use it to play. The string also will have fatigue. So after a while, you have to start to play it. Then that tension starts to develop again. Then the racket becomes good again. Understand? So musical instrument also same. Car, you have to run it, they say. Then this one, if you lack use, it will have problem. So you can find out. You can silent, relax, and find out. More important is the meditation part. Means, like what you did is correct, relax, understand? But whatever happened, I say, relax into it. Means any mind state, any tension, tightness, or stress within, relax into it. That's why like silent your mind and just feel there and relax and relax. Feel it soothingly relax. Then let your mind state settle down. If you don't think, don't suppress, don't control, don't fight, don't try to do anything, the thought will slow down. The sankhara will slow down. The mental hindrance will slow down. Then you will end because you don't develop any aversion, like or dislike, towards that meditation. Means no sensual desire, no ill will. Then your silent mind, sati, will take over. When sati take over, you become aware. That's why you will experience calmness, piti, leading to sukha. Then pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. And that is what meditation is all about. Then you stabilize it until that silent mind becomes very quiet, very still, and very stable. That is the real meditative mind. That is the mind that can meditate and understand many things. Then stabilize this mind state and use it in your daily life. Use this trained mind to live life, to cultivate the daily mindfulness, the four foundation of mindfulness. That is the real meditation. And you will progress very fast after that. Just relax into it, silent. That's why the real meditation is just silent. Don't try to know. If whatever mind state arises, just relax into it. Then sometimes it's from your past, it develops into energy or what, then make you very calm. You can just try it out and find out what it is. Yeah, it could be something from your past. So don't be afraid of energy building up initially. Just let it build up and understand. So that later on you will understand all this. Then relax into it. As you relax, all this energy, you will be able to make use of it. It will help you like develop the ability to use this energy to develop the movement within your nature. It can help you open up many things. So you let it build up, then silent, relax into it. Then all this energy is not wasted. As long as you relax into it, it will not build up. But it will be within your body. Then when the time comes, when you are ready, when this one is stable, fully charged, then you silence everything. You are able to silence, it will detect the gateway. Then the moment it detects the gateway, it will melt inside. All this energy, yin-yang energy, will melt inside. Then you become very still, very quiet, completely transformed. And your mind becomes like no thought, completely without thought, still, with the pure energy inside, transforming, doing the internal movement. All this will be possible if you understand that. Don't try to know, just do, relax. Okay. Any other questions?
I just remember something. I think 2 weeks ago, Brother Dio was asking Queenie to describe the spiritual trip to Anandagiri. So when she was describing it, there was a lot of joy in me because her description was very vivid. And I could picture it when she say it, and then it arises all those pictures that I saw in WhatsApp. Then I'm not sure whether it's because of that. Because after that, the next 2 days, I was like very happy throughout the day.
Because there is pity, there is joy.
But because I still go to work.
But you didn't go, is that Anandagiri?
I didn't go. I was listening to her. She was describing. During the 2 days after that, I was in the office, and there was still a lot of things like stressful or anxious. There was still
the joy there.
Yeah.
No, because your faith, that joy. Because you can recollect through the WhatsApp picture that they sent out. Who was it that described the trip?
Queenie.
I know. Queenie is a very cute girl. That was her first trip to Anandagiri. That's why she was full of joy. And the daughter was with her, Meisya, the son-in-law. She was full of joy. She also joined me on the spiritual trip to Guangzhou, to the Six Patriots place. And she really, really was very, very happy. So much joy, despite her age, She and together with Mrs. Ho, you all call her Madam Ho. Actually, her actual name is Ng Lai Chan. She is almost 80 years old. Then Queenie, I think 70 plus. 60 plus only. So young. 69 only. Wow, but she looks so old. She every time encouraged Mrs. Ho, both do, like Kayanamita, they used to counsel and motivate each other. Then both of them have very strong faith. There's so much joy, and you can see them despite their bodily condition. Queenie and Mrs. Ho got leg problem. Mrs. Ho last time can't walk. Then she developed the faith at the Cameron Highland retreat. Then surprisingly, the family member also was surprised. When she came, they were so worried, they insist the maid must follow her. Without the maid, they don't allow her to come. So she came with the maid. It was a 9-day retreat. After the third day, he told the maid, "You boleh balik," the Indonesian. And the family member got a shock when they saw the maid coming home. He said, "What happened?" He said, "Nyonya cakap tapaya." Then he asked the maid, "How?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Mrs. Ho recovered. Sehat, sudah sehat. Alone can walk. No need maid." Because she was full of joy at the retreat. Then after that, she recovered. Then there were several spiritual trips that Madam Ho or Mrs. Ho went with her. Every time she goes, she got so much joy. That's why she liked to join us. Then this trip also, She benefited so much. Then despite their condition, I tell you, at that age, they can really walk as fast as the way we walk. You no need to like wait for her for too long. Maybe she will be behind by 1 or 2 minutes. But the moment you stop and discuss something, she will catch up. And their faith is the one that actually drives them, the spiritual faculty, and they become so different, so beautiful. And she has so much joy because she has lived this human life so well, even though she came into the Dhamma late. But she has so much joy because over the last maybe 10 years or so, she did so many of these spiritual things. And join us in so many of the spiritual trips, in the meditation classes, the house dana and all those things. Then she was listening to the recording and all those things. And at her age, she is very alert. Got a lot of love, a lot of care for her own children, daughters, son, grandchildren and all those things. Because she offered to take my wife and me to the airport, to and fro. While on the vehicle, you can see her answering phone call, calling up the loved one, and tell them not to worry. Then update them on where is she and how is she doing. And she has so much joy. That's why now the family member no longer worry about her. Last time, so scared of allowing her to join us because of her age and her leg problem and all those things. There were many occasions. Then when everything turned out to be so beautiful, blessing in disguise, then they saw her so happy. They really have confidence. That's why now, no more questions, no more problems. The last few years was beautiful. So because of that, you have a lot of joy. Sadhu to you. Let us rejoice. That's why, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You can recall to mind all the things that you do. That's why this website is very important. All the photo, the album, the video, the recording will remind you of the activity that you have done over the years. And you will have this joy inside you because you have not wasted your human birth, your human life. And you have developed so much wholesomeness through the spiritual understanding, the spiritual cultivation, and your affinity with all the kayanamitas. And all this is going to bring forth good memories, joy, happiness. Then it will serve you well when you get old. At least you can confidently tell yourself, you have not wasted this human birth. You have done what many people cannot do. All our activity classes that you attend, they have so much wholesomeness, merits behind, so much understanding behind. So you can follow with mindfulness, understanding, joy, happiness, peacefulness. All this will serve you well. And you will have very good life. Then future also good birth, good karma to take care of you. Then even at the death moment, you will not have fear. There is so much understanding, so much joy. So recently you all heard of this Auntie Tan. He just passed away. Do you know such a good death? He was still conscious, active, talking, living, having joy and all. Then suddenly, after he ate something or what, then he just passed away like that, so peaceful. How old is she? Should be near to 100 easily. Yeah, 90-something. Should be easily near 200. Because last time I remember about 20, 20 over years back, if not almost 30 years ago. She was hospitalized and she was almost died. But because of what she has done, so they did the puja for her. I remember at the Brickfield Temple underneath the Bohi tree. And that day I also was there together with my family, my children. Then I also partake. Then I remember we redid. And I can feel the energy that they were so strong, so sincere. Then I knew something will happen. Then the news came. Immediately after that, they say, in the hospital, she recovered. Well, before that, she actually was going through that phase. They call it the change of character. Change of character. Like she was another person, not herself, really. Then she was keep on telling people, we go here, Katina, there, Katina. Yeah, she do a lot of Katina. And she is Dana Queen, generosity, do Dana. They call it the Dana Queen. And she got many Kayanamita who actually join her and like her because she very sincere. And she helped out a lot during the early days. Then the husband, Uncle Tan Teck Beng, was the president of BMS at one time. So what happened was, as she was going through that phase, they knew it's very critical. She can go anytime. Then all of a sudden, after we do the Bohi Puja underneath the Puja tree at the Brickfield Temple, she recovered. No, she turned around. Then later on, discharged from the hospital. I think that time was 1989 or 88, I forgot already. So at that time, now it's 2017, almost 29 years ago. And she recovered, and she was so beautiful, and she continued to do her this Buddhist work and activity. And she actually helped many of these Theravada. She helped to raise funds. He go to India, Nepal, and help many of these poor temple or poor places. Then they also have their own support group that raise funds through money collection or what to help a lot of monks who need support and help. Then many of them who follow her, they are old Brickfield Buddhist members. So she's a very, very unique lady. That's why she had a very peaceful death, just like that, gone. And at her age, she was driving around, or even at the age of 90 or 90 something. The alarm sound already. So 6 o'clock, we better end. Okay, so we should rejoice and thank Mindy and Man Yuan for the good sharing and the condition to arise the good Dhamma. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will share merits and transfer merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siriya idang meya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang meya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina putnyang kamina mebala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay. You can now pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.